following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
One of the things that I love is when the Lord first preaches his sermon to me before I get the privilege, the humble distinction to preach the sermon or share the sermon with you. You know, one of the things that the Lord's reminded me this week in preparation for today's sermon is that, you know, we should read God's word. We should emphatically pursue him through his word, in his word, his heart, his will, his desires. But more importantly, we should meditate on his word. Meditate. You know, as I begin sermon preparation, often, you know, I'm reading the text and at least once a day, leading up to the sermon, you know, I'm meditating on it. I'm pursuing it and reading it over. But what I love the most is when I no longer have to read or meditate, but I can, and this is what happened at 10 to 4 this morning, is I can just, and trust me, I wasn't trying to get up at 10 to 4 this morning, but like, but the Lord then kind of speaks his word back to us. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, just speaks his word back to us and kind of gives us his perspective and heart. You know, so I mentioned that we do an outline on Saturday so that you'd have that for the sermon today. But I say that's going to actually be considered a draft almost because, I mean, I was really excited after last night, for the sermon that the Lord gave me. But after the things that the Lord has just put on my heart this morning, I want to share those things with you because I'm just blown away. And so super thankful, but please avail yourself to the outline that's on this afternoon. Go deeper in the text and avail yourself to some of the commentary work that I've shared and some of the thoughts, because there are many and they're rich. But we want to know what he wants us to know today. It's a living and active word. He's got something for you this morning, something precious that he wants to sow into your life. And I really believe that we get really to the heart of the bigger picture of this text in what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, I just thank you for your word, this living and active, powerful word that looks right into the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, that lifts off the page and you, by the work of your Spirit, Holy Spirit, we desire today that you would write your word on our hearts, that we would hide your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, that blesses the man who meditates on your word day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. Let that be us today as we just hear from this precious moment where Mary is encouraged and stimulated by your Spirit to sing a praise, a humble sacrifice of praise, declaring that she's overwhelmed by your presence and your willingness to use her. Father, open our hearts today. Teach us. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, that your word would continue to find rich presence and a rich expression through our lives, Lord. This is your work to do, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, really good. So, you know, we have to be reminded often, and usually it's through difficult circumstances, that we're dust, right? I love Ephesians chapter 2 that reminds us that while we were dead in our trespasses and sin, right? We're reminded that though we are dust, he is mighty, he's glorious. Have you looked at the ocean lately? Have you taken in the stars recently and realized that God is glorious, that he's this marvelous creator, like this marvelous creator, that he's the one that breathed into dust, and we are the image bearers now because of his mercy, because of his grace. But let's not forget where the power comes from. who the one is, the very one that authored the stars and calls them by name. Like, let's not, we can get so aware of ourselves and forget that apart from Him, we can do nothing. Nothing. That He's the everything and that nothing is impossible with God. The angel declares this to Mary two verses before we started this morning in verse 37. He reminds her, Mary, nothing. And this is not the first time that this has been spoken through prophetic scripture, that nothing, you know, what is too difficult for you, O Lord? Nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary's response that I am the Lord's servant, let it be done unto me as you have declared. I mean, this is a massive moment where she submits to God's will, purpose, and plan. And I believe in this moment, she's already kind of, as a young descendant of David, you know, she's contemplated the implications of this. I mean, little girls have probably talked about this for century, millennium, you know, how, or almost, you know, how Isaiah's prophecy in 7:14 would come to fruition. But let's not forget, as we break into this text this morning, that we are dead in our trespass. Now, if a dead person enters into a hospital, what can they do to bring themselves back to life? Nothing. It requires an act of God, right? And that's exactly what he's... Because in Ephesians chapter 2, it goes into this. It says, but God. Don't you love that? But God, being rich in mercy, right? Sent His Son. And it says this, He made us. I love that. He made us alive in Christ Jesus. This is the work of His sweet Spirit, the very thing that He did at creation. He breathed life. And this morning, you know, Rob did a marvelous job last week focusing on the first part of this text. And I read the whole thing because of the context. We're talking about just a moment here where Mary walks in the room, right? Says her house, Elizabeth's house, but I love this. It's similar to like one of the things that would unnerve me living in Spanish Wells, Sheba's little island, is between like 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, people will knock. I mean, that's very gracious of them, but they just walk right in. Like, you know, it's just like, okay, hello, you better be dressed, you know. So, and that's what we see here is there's such rich, you know, relational context and familiarity because Mary walks into the house before she even says hello, right? And so we see one, the haste that verse 46 talks about, like the haste that brings her there. She after hearing that there's someone that's going to understand her circumstance, that's going to believe the miraculous work of God, that this barren woman that she is intimately familiar with she's going to be able to share this with her, and she's not going to think she's crazy. And what we find is to the opposite extreme. She's, you know, we're told that Zechariah earlier in chapter 1, we're told that Zechariah is told that he will be filled, John the Baptist, John will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth. And he, in this text, we see as he leaps in verse 44, it says that the Spirit leapt in her womb, right? John leapt in her womb, and it says, verse 44 says, with joy. And I really want to focus on that this morning. That the byproduct of God's presence, God's Spirit, love. What's the second? The greatest of these is love, right? We know, right? But what is the next fruit of the Spirit? Joy. It really marks the church. It marks the believer. Joy is, I mean, I've heard it over and over again. We should be the most joyful people on the planet, right? But it's the joy of the Lord. Don't let it be confused with happiness. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's an empowered work that God does through us. But there's a greater purpose than just our happiness and even our contentment. It's power. It's strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is our... God wants to strengthen His servant for the work that He has called her to in this text. And as John the Baptist in his conception is being filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth is overwhelmed and declares things she could not know. Couldn't know. There's no way. I mean, she says to her, "Blessed are you that have believed what the Lord has said." How could she know Mary's heart? But can you imagine the comfort that is to Mary to know that the Lord knows her heart? And maybe she needed to be reminded even of the belief, the faith. And listen, you know, one of the things that we see in this text is, you know, why was Mary given this incredible opportunity? You know, no precedence for this, right? Unique in all of creation, right? Promised and realized through God's power. And she's the one. And you can tell by her song, her magnificent, that like she is humbled. She's overwhelmed by this, that God would choose her, right? But yet she declares, "Oh, just can't wait to get into all these details." Isn't it magnificent what God's Spirit can do through a vessel that believes that nothing is impossible with God? Because by all means, this is what the angel says, right? The angel says, "Greetings, O favored one." We mentioned that means, "O greatly graced." That's how it translates out of the original. Like, "O favored one." What's the next thing that Gabriel says? "The Lord is with you." Like, I don't know about you, but if God's with me, who can be against me, right? Like this is the very thing that he said to Moses in Exodus 14 or 4, excuse me. Like, look, Moses, I know you got all these excuses, but let me remind you of all you need to know. I'm with you. I'm with you. Like, if God is with us and he's bringing his power and his intention to this purpose, how much confidence can we have in him? In him. Right? And this is what, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, this is what Elizabeth declares to Mary in that moment. And Elizabeth is like, "What? Like, how could I be so honored to be in the presence?" And she's the first one to declare him Lord. Right? The first one ever to call Jesus. Jesus was declared Lord in the womb. How awesome is that? And Savior. Right? Based on Mary's declaration in verse 36 and 7, 46 and 47. Like he's, because that's who he is. And so I'm excited. I want to share some thoughts and questions with you, and let's dig this out. And I believe there's a massive application for us today that will literally help you to go through these end times. That will literally help you. Listen, please hear this. What the angel said to Mary, was it good news? Right? Was it good news? But was there implications that might not have been such good news? I mean, you are a pledged woman. Well, no, betrothed, on the verge of pledged, and you're about to be pregnant. It's not later, but now. And she gets out of town. At the end of this passage in verse 56, it says 3 months later. I did a little research on pregnancy because haven't been there, and found out that when ladies are given birth for the first time, especially if they're younger and thinner, you know, like the average 8 to 12 weeks, but for sure 12 weeks, we're showing, not we, they're showing, right? And so like showing. Like, she's going home, and it literally says, as we further in the text, she was found to be with child. She didn't like announce this. Can you imagine? Oh, let me explain. The angel Gabriel came to me. What? Right? I mean, so like, there's no precedence for this. And Mary understood that, but she, with haste, it says in verse 46, she runs off to Elizabeth because she is confident that Elizabeth will believe the impossible. And that she will be a source of encouragement. And why else would the angel tell her that? And so here she runs into the Judean countryside, into the hill country of Judea, races into the home, greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, makes these declarations that Why am I so honored? Blessed is the one who has believed what the Lord has said. She's overwhelmed. Mary's overwhelmed. And what do we have in response to all of that? We have a song, folks. Beloved, we have a moment of worship. This isn't like down the road. This is her response to the glory and the wonder and the what God is going to do in her life. But she is, listen, the implications, I believe, are not lost on her. And so, but here's where it's so incredibly applicable to us. Guys, do you have tough stuff going on? Do you have potential implications of things going on in your life? I mean, are there circumstances in our context that are just, I mean, all of the stuff. And yet she's, listen, please, she's not focused. She's not focused on that. She's focused on Him. She's so overwhelmed by the grace of God that she burst forth almost, I believe, unconsciously. Like, it's just, isn't that ideal worship? Not when, okay, it's time to stand. Here's some lyrics for you. Let's sing a song. Like, that's fantastic if we can do that with great vigor and enthusiasm and genuineness and authenticity. But when it's just exploded out of just the necessity of my heart to bring forth this praise and worship because of what God, great things God has done. Does that make sense? And this wonderful moment of worship, just we get to see it. We get to not see it, but be a witness of it, right? Now, why do we get this? Because Luke went to painstaking effort, as it says in verses 1-5 of this chapter, to interview, to find an orderly account of how things transpired for one most excellent Theophilus. And he breaks down this orderly account and he goes to Mary. He has to. Tradition concludes this, that he goes to Mary and gets an eyewitness account of all these details. So right here, we get to hear Mary telling us what Mary felt, went through, experienced. And she breaks forth in song. So my question is, why is Mary chosen to conceive the Christ and to deliver the divine? Why is Mary chosen? Well, as we investigate the text and measure it to all of the New Testament and the theology and doctrine that we have to conclude this, based on Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by grace. She's highly favored. But what is God seeing in her that He would bestow this incredible responsibility and privilege upon her? And what it is, it comes down to this, folks. It's faith. It's faith. It's what brings pleasure to the heart of God. It's what amazes and marvels the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith. And faith, it's always been faith. Like, how, you know, should we pursue righteousness? Yes. But is perfect righteousness, in order to be completely cleansed and brought into the Father's presence, is that possible in our effort? Impossible. Complete. I mean, it's not even close, right? It's ridiculous. But by faith, what Jesus does, like, and it comes back to Genesis 15:6, like, it's always been that when we put our faith, our confidence, our hope, our trust in God, and God knows our heart, that's what we're told over and over again. But when we do that, just like those first Gentile believers in Acts chapter 10, like, God sees that faith, right? And imputes, He literally gives us the righteousness of Christ. And now we are invited into His presence and all the fullness of that comes with that, which includes, as I'm going to focus on this morning, joy. Joy. This, and Jesus says we can have it in spades if we abide in Him, based on John chapter 15, verses 9-11. So this little girl with a magnificent faith in a glorious God that is so worthy of our faith in Him, like, is bestowed this incredible grace to the one and only to be the womb in order to deliver the one that would deliver us. So we see that. And then, as I mentioned, verse 45, blessed is she that has believed. We know the Holy Spirit declares the truth through Elizabeth that Mary believed the angel. She was just asking for how, not if. So joy is the theme of this providential moment. Joy is the theme. What is its source, though? Can you help me this morning? Joy is the theme. Obviously, we see John's joy, verse 44. Elizabeth's joy. We see Mary's joy and exuberance in praise. Like, so joy is overflowing here. But who, what's the catalyst? Exactly, Chris. The Holy Spirit. This is, what did it require the Holy Spirit for Elizabeth to know those things? Did it require the Holy Spirit for the presence of God to invade a womb? And John, God is gracious, that's what his name means. I mean, that's just awesome, right? I mean, it's overwhelmingly awesome. But it's the source of it all is the Holy Spirit. Guys, are you dependent on the Holy Spirit today? I mean, go back and listen to Rob's message last week. Like, seriously, like, we're invited in Ephesians, it says this over, I think it's 5:18. Like, we're invited to be constantly and perpetually filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, we're baptized when we're made one in Christ and we're ushered into the church, the bride of Christ. But man, we are called to constantly to request the filling of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm just going to confess. I've been going through a season where I have no energy. And sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed. And some of it is just my physical and then obviously circumstantial. But man, what I've realized is I'm focusing too much on that. Right? And man, it was like Friday afternoon. I was just given some time to cry out to God. And what I prayed for, I just said, Lord, and I pray this all the time, but I just prayed, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you captivate me with your joy, with your love, as this text continued to unfold? He did! He did! Like, God does these things. But guys, it's always for His purpose, right? You know what I mean? Like, He's not gonna empower our purpose. Was Mary given power for her purpose or His? Right? Or for me, you know, John, the same thing. And man, like Nehemiah 10, like the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Like there's that. We're going to look at that right here in just a moment. So faith and joy are intimately connected. Right? We see this here with Mary's life. Intimately connected. This is what the Lord was just laying on me this morning. In John 15, in the true vine, let's look at these texts. So, Claire, if you'd kind of roll through to those, that would be awesome. So, as we look at this text in John 15, oh, that's okay. So, Jesus says this. Now, in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he speaks of his Father being the vine dresser or the gardener, depending on your translation. And that what God is doing is he's pruning us for greater faithfulness. He's discerning our true abiding work in him and that he's pruning us to be fit. And here's the thing is that the key, like we don't get grafted. We don't graft ourselves in. Right? That's the work of the gardener, right? Does that make sense, guys? This is important to understand. Like he's the one that grafts us in to the true vine, which is Jesus. This is great vine imagery. But then later what he says to his boys and to us as an extension is that we've got to stay there. We've got to abide. We've got to remain, the NIV uses. Right? We've got to stay at home. We've got to stick to my email address is connected to Christ. I need to be reminded of this, right? So like, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. It's interesting that it's always draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Why? Because we're prone to wander, to stray, right? So abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Amen. Right? We're the branch, by the way, in this illustration. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. And it's almost like he's just saying it again. Why do we do that? Why do we repeat ourselves? Because it's so important. And remember, this is the final hours before his crucifixion. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides, stays in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So, like, can we be joyful apart from him? Right? Can we truly love God and love people, which is the culmination of the entire law and prophets? Like, if we really want to see God's word fulfilled in our life, Jesus says, look, this sums it up. Love God, love people. Right? And in order for us to bear fruit, later on it says, showing yourselves to be my disciples, my followers, my students, my learners. Well, let's move to the next part. I'm going to skip down to 9 to 11. So, same conversation, same moment. Critical moment. He's unpacking his final thoughts, and it says, as the Father has loved me, do you see confidence in the Father's love? Right? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And then this is what he says, abide in my love. So obvious question, how? Right? And here's what it says, if you keep my commandments, right, what do we need in order to obey? Again, the Holy Spirit, right? Like faithfulness, like self-control, all these things that are critical, right? So he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then here it is. Listen, these things I have spoken. Like, why did he tell them this? He tells them the why. These things I have spoken to you that my, what does it say? He doesn't say joy in general. He says what? My joy. Because he says, look, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Guys, if you have your Bibles, look at this verse. In Psalm 16:11, you know what it says? Listen to what it says. It says, depending on your translation, in the presence of the Lord is the abundance of joy. Right? The presence of the Lord. Joy is a manifestation of his presence. And so his proximity to us. And again, we're the ones called to abide and to draw near. And as I mentioned earlier, Nehemiah 8:10, right? Listen to what it says. Is somebody at Psalm 16:11? Anybody there? Donna, read it nice and loud. And do we know that God, what he did in Christ was to bring us near? Like, that's what God did in Jesus. He brought us close. He tore the veil from top to bottom and invited us into his presence. And guys, these things aren't all of the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the believer. It's the fruit of the, right? So like, we experience these wonderful fruits, attributes of God himself, and then those get put on display through our lives as a byproduct. Because we're branches, right? We're branches. We just get to hold and demonstrate and share the fruit with those around us. So Nehemiah 8:10 says, and he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is your strength. This is such a timely message. Abiding in the word leads to faith. Do you believe that? Abiding in the word. Have you ever prayed like the disciples pray, Lord, increase my faith? Have you ever prayed that? I've been praying like that. My big prayer recently is, Lord, increase my faith. It's a stretching exercise. There's a testing that happens in that. And surely I've been experiencing some of that too. But is it not the goodness of God to do this for us, to stretch us into his image? But abiding in his word leads to faith. Here's what I'd like to share with you. Look with me in Romans. Did I not put that one in there? Okay, I'm sorry. Romans 10:17. Listen to what it says. So faith comes from and hearing through the word of Christ. Like, how does faith come to us? But through hearing the word of God, as we spend time in God's word, exercising our faith in his promises and his goodness and his grace and mercy, like our faith is increased. Like, guys, when we're witnessing to others and we want them to, do you have loved ones that you want them to have faith in God? You want them to believe and know Christ? But we know that its faith is the catalyst to imputed righteousness, and without righteousness, we can't be saved. Right? But God is gracious and he's generous, and he pours out his righteousness when we simply just exercise our faith, confidence, trust in him. And man, so what my point is this: when you are sharing with loved ones and those that God leads you to, make sure that God's word is central to your witness. Because that's where the faith comes from, is God's word. Our words aren't powerful, but his are powerful, leading to eternal life. Now, here's the theme verse that God gave me this morning. And this wasn't even in the sermon. Like, that's crazy to me now that this wasn't in the sermon before this morning. Like, because this is the sermon, right? Like, this is the deal right here. Listen to what this says. Oh, I love this. And listen, this is not like obscure scripture. This is not something you never heard before, but listen to it in the context of what we're talking about this morning. Colossians 3:16, it says this. Do I have that one? Yes. Okay, so it's on me if it's not there. It's because that's me. But listen, Colossians 3:16, listen to what this says. Let. Another passage, Paul says, let the peace of Christ reign. Right? Here, like, what do you think he means when he says let? Like, allow, right? Like, embrace, welcome, right? Like, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How's that going? How's it going with, like, letting the word of God dwell? Like, think about that for a moment. Like, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How are you doing it, letting God's word dwell in you? Dwell. Take up residence in your life. And it doesn't say just richly. Let the peace, or let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So what's the fruit of it? Is that we would love, admonish, share, impart the very things that, very, what's going on right here, right now. Like, what God gives us is really meant to be shared always, right? Given away. We're blessed to be a blessing, right? And so teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And then listen to what it says here. Don't miss this. Singing hymns or psalms. That's exactly what Mary is doing. That's exactly what she's doing. And hymns and spiritual songs. She bursts forth in song to the glory of God. And do you know what? We don't have time this morning. That was the previous sermon. To unpack, like, all the nuance of the text, please go back and read through that. But guys, please listen to what I'm sharing with you. Like, everything that Mary is saying when she literally speaks all of these words, indwelled, empowered, led of the Holy Spirit, act of worship and praise, like, all of it is rooted in the scriptures. Every single piece you can find precedence in the scripture for. And you know what? You know, we're so quick to be amazed, and we should be, by this arguably 13 to 15 year old young lady that is just being given this mantle of wonder. And here's the deal. All we have to do is go back to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. And Hannah, after being given the gift of Samuel, declares that this is what Mary knows. Like, she's a young lady that knows. She's a woman of the word. Does that make sense? Like, what we discover in what she's saying as she praises here, guys, when you praise the Lord, not if, but when. Like, let it be full of God's word. Because that's what comes, you know, every single word that he sends forth comes to fruition, right? Like, let his word be the origin. Let it be the declaration of your praises, of your worship. You know, one of the things that Marty and I talk about all the time, like, let's not sing about God, let's sing to him. Let's sing songs that echo the scriptures, that help to reinforce the truth. Listen to what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What is that going to do? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen to this. With thanksgiving in your heart. Guys, do you know that Scripture never tells us to do anything in our own strength? You can't do it. Be perfect as He is perfect. Good luck. Right? But here's the thing. Same thing here. When it says over in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, it says, be joyful always. Yeah. Right? Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Who do we need to help us do that? The Holy Spirit. But guys, you know what it should look like? Like, this is the Christian life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Like, I mean, it's not a somber, like, oh. It is confident assurance that He's going to answer our prayers. Like, everything that we read in Scripture that becomes a mandate, let. We are completely depending on God's Spirit to see it happen. Completely. Our part of the equation, faith. Just believing that His Word can come to fruition by His power and presence. And here's the good news. I'll be with you to the very end of the age. And the fruition of that promise? The Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit. He says, I will go. It's better that I go, that He might come. Right? And He's going to do this work in us. This is exactly what happened in this Holy Spirit-inspired moment. She, Mary, her immediate implication, but her future blessing. Guys, trusting God's word. Here's the truth there. Are you focused on immediate implications? Are you currently focused on immediate context? Has Fox News had impact? Like, guys, or are we like Mary? Because what does she say in this wonderful song? She says, for generations to come, not just one, but all of them. She says, generation to generation. Like, you know what she's saying there? She's saying that in this life it might be tough, but they will call me blessed forever. Like, she stated that. Like, because that was her focus. Guys, we just finished 1 Peter, right? And one of the things that we're told in 1 Peter, that we have a living hope, that Christ Jesus, the hope of His sure return and our resurrection and all the wonder that comes with that, that great and dreadful day of the Lord, is our persevering power. That's our encouragement. I love that. But we must trust God's word. Do you know that Mary trusted? She didn't have the New Testament. Probably wasn't even literate, but I believe her dad and the synagogue, they did a good job of sowing God's word into her life. And she was hungry and receptive. But she trusted God's word, the angelic message. She trusted it and she walked it out. Otherwise, why is she even going to Elizabeth? It's awesome. So in this volatile political season, let's let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. Let's do that. Let's meditate on His word day and night, not the words of Fox News, as I mentioned. Many wonder how this teenage girl might form such a theologically rich statement of faith. They marvel at it, right? She had hidden God's word in her heart. As I mentioned, I just want to read this with you because we're going to read 2 Samuel. And keep in mind that this was Samuel's mom that was barren and heartbroken over it, coming to Eli, begging her. Eli thinks she's drunk. She's so, like, brokenhearted about it, about her barrenness. And Eli tells her, don't worry, God's coming, and he's gonna fulfill this promise, this prayer for you. And this is her song of praise. And I believe that this is the precedence of Mary's. You know what she's doing? She's declaring God's word that she had hidden in her heart. Listen, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts." You'll hear lots of what we've heard from the text this morning. "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn," meaning my strength, "is exalted in the Lord." My strength is exalted in the Lord. "My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Almost identical to what she says. "There is none holy like the Lord." That's what she says, Mary says. "For there is none beside you. There is no rock." Don't you love this? This is her praise and celebration. "There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly." "Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength." Listen, those who were full have hired themselves out for bread. This is exactly what she says in her prayer. "But those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and rises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich." I mean, it's exactly what Mary's song is about. "He brings low and he exalts." He humbles the proud, because pride comes before the fall. "He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherits a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail." So good. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength, there it is, to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Guys, between this and what Miriam does on the other side of the Red Sea, this is exactly what Mary is proclaiming. She is declaring the word of the Lord. And in the midst of that, her theology is so solid. It's so true. But that again, with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, such a rich piece there for us to discern. So, where I be? Trust the Lord. Okay, so here's what I want to share with you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Let that be what you hear today. The word lived out in obedience. I must say that because you hear Mary, right? "I am the Lord's servant." Then, coupled with faith, brings joy, which leads to strength. Because if you look in Philippians 4:13, the context there is contentment. But he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." To that, whether I have lack or I have plenty, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here's the big idea for this morning. Mary was a woman of the word and actually had the divine privilege to deliver him. That's one of the benefits. God looks to and fro, right? For hearts that seek him and honor him. Like this is what that exalt his name. So listen to this last piece, and then I just give you a few application points, because I love this. This is the last three verses of the book of Malachi, chapter 7, verses 18 to 20. And in Mary's praise and celebration and prayer, this is exactly what she's talking about. And again, what I'm pointing to is the richness of God's word dwelling in her. Listen to what Malachi says. "Who is a God like you?" This is a glorious prayer. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever." Is that good news this morning? His anger only lasts a moment, it says elsewhere. "Because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us," speaking of Israel. "He will tread our iniquities underfoot." This is the promise of the prophet that's realized in Christ. "You will cast," speaking of God the Father, "you will cast all our sin into the depths of the sea." the cross, right? You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. That's exactly the end of Mary's prayer. And I believe that this is where she gleaned, as she richly dwelled in God's word. So sweet. So here are some application points, and I always want God's word to be front and center. So first two application points are God's word. So Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. John 15:9-13. So the admonishment here, or the application, is abide richly in God's word. This is how we love him, by obeying his commandments, by knowing his word and serving and obeying his word. Listen to what it says: as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Listen, this is so important. I added this because it was so critical. Like, so it's, he says, obey my commandments, right? And then this is the next thing he says. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There it is, guys. What does it look like for you to love others at the standard to which Christ loved you? Husbands, your bride. Families, your kids. One another, your spouse. Your community, those around you. He says this is my commandment. Right? If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. You'll remain in my love. And he says, my commandment is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this. And this qualifies his standard of love, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what we're called to do, is to lay down our life for those around us. Trust God. Here's another application point. Two more and we're done. Trust God and his word, no matter how difficult it will be, because it will be. That is what biblical faith is. Trust God and his word. Mary did. Remember, it's not about what we can or can't do, but who he is. Did you hear that? It's not about what we can or can't do. It's about who he is and the fact that by his spirit he's with us. And finally, that's my point. I am with you. The Lord is with you, Mary. The Lord is with you. That's what Gabriel said. Let that be your confidence. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your mission and ministry. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for your amazing example, for your precious words. You did all of this to lead us into the Father's throne room, into his presence, that we might know you intimately, that your joy may be in us and our joy may be full or complete, that we might be strengthened as ambassadors and instruments of your grace. Lord, please, would you continue to help us to dwell richly in your word, to dwell in it, Lord. Help us to abide in it, to meditate on it day and night. Help us to trust you, to put our faith and confidence in you and in your word, that you might fill our hearts with joy to be our strength for your glory, that we might, like Mary, might sing songs of praise, declaring your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.